The way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jerry Jones will not be trading Micah Parsons.
Oh, man, listen, Micah, he's not coming. Let's not be silly. Now, do I think he's going to end up on the Packers? I don't.
I do.
Did you see what I tweeted or texted you?
Tweeted.
This is so stupid.
That would be, who is the most reliable who said something yesterday?
Oh, the brother.
Thank you. I can't stress this enough. Jerry's not trading Micah, LOL. And I'm damn sure it wouldn't be to the Packers.
But I guarantee, Michael Parsons is not going anywhere. Jerry's not that crazy.
They can call Little Ricky and say, hey, put this all over
pretty,
the internet.
Pretty Ricky.
Oh, Pretty Ricky?
Right. Buster.
Micah Parsons, like they make them a legitimate contender.
We've been talking about it for 48 hours. The unbelievable has happened. The Green Bay Packers have done it. The Dallas Cowboys, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, have traded All-Pro defensive end and linebacker, three-time All-Pro defensive end and linebacker, Micah Parsons, to the Green Bay Packers. The Packers and Micah Parsons have agreed to a four-year, $188 million contract extension.
Yeah, I think it's time that we start competing for championships, right?
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Studios with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Bridgewater. Pressure dropped. Parsons came flying through. He's got 2.5 sacks in this game. Two timeouts left. Minute 10 the first half. See if the Falcons can get something going here. And not there. Has dropped his line. He fumbled, but it's picked up. As Micah Parsons came through.
Hats off to them.
Mahomes under pressure. Parsons knocked it out. And the Cowboys have it. How about the rookie Micah Parsons? What a play. As Basham comes away with the ball, this kid is spectacular.
Just 16 yards. That was a big play offense. That's not there.
There's Parsons. He's got his second.
What a day to be a Packer fan. It wasn't a dream. It actually happened. Micah Parsons is a member of your Green Bay Packers. Yeah. Micah Parsons is a member of your Green Bay Packers.
Wonderful. Haven't won anything yet, Gabe.
Oh, won the trade. Definitely won the trade.
They won.
Definitely
but...
won the trade. You thought it was going to be a lot more. You thought it was going to be more. If I told you when we were doing this show 24 hours ago, all it would cost is two firsts and Kenny Clark, you would have gone, yeah, I do that in a heartbeat.
I thought it would be more, but they overpaid for him. And I got some questions for Jason. And Jason, is that you laughing? Or oh, it is. Am I the only voice of reason on this entire station?
You're not a voice of reason. Yeah, that's the problem.
I am.
You're the voice of dissent.
You want to hand them a Super Bowl already. All this does is put more pressure on them. Yes, does it move them up? And I said it yesterday. It moves them to a team of six. Where
yeah,
they are
in
now
the
legit contenders.
They're among the group of
but
great teams in the NFL. Yes.
That means nothing.
No, you got to go out there and do it. But that doesn't mean I can't be excited about the
you
team making
excited,
the second biggest trade in the history of this franchise.
But now it's time to play football.
No.
Let's go play
no,
football.
It's not. No. That, it ain't that time yet. That's next week. Today is celebration day. Today is Victory Friday because I was among them. Nobody thought that Jerry was actually this dumb. Nobody thought that Jerry would actually trade Micah Parsons. Turns out he's old, he's stubborn, respect, but he ultimately decided that his stubbornness was worth trading one of his best players away for Kenny Clark and two first-round picks.
See, now the voice of reason looks and says, is there something more to it? I want to ask Jason how many teams were seriously involved, because the only one I've heard of that were seriously involved were the Packers.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I want to know why.
Because Jerry's a dip bleep.
No, that's the easy way out. That's the easy way out.
Are you familiar with Occam's razor?
Occam?
Your friend.
Yeah.
Who's that?
It's Blimer's cousin.
Occam Razor. That's kind of a good name. I want to be called Vor for now on. Vor. Call me Vor.
So rain Occam's, clouds.
Vor.
Occam Razor. Occam's Razor.
Yeah.
Is the most likely explanation is probably the explanation. And the most likely explanation here is at 82 years old, Jerry Jones just decided to, I'm old and bleep it. I'm digging in. I thought I had a handshake deal with this guy. He wants to go back on that handshake deal. So bleep him. I'm going to trade him. Because Jane Slater of the NFL Network had a report that just, if your jaw was dropped when you saw that the Packers made this move, I could not believe this report from Jane Slater yesterday from the NFL Network, where she said that after the trade, she had talked to Micah directly, and Micah told her that after the trade rumors had leaked, and, you know, the whispers and the breadcrumbs earlier this week were being dropped, he went to the Cowboys saying, hey, let's negotiate a deal. And the Cowboys told him, play on the fifth-year option or leave.
But why? You have to go deeper than that, than him being a moron, okay? Because I go to, and I'll say...
But Jerry is a moron.
That's easy. Yeah, he can be. But that's the easy way out.
Yeah, and that's the most
players,
likely explanation.
Two players on the team making over $100 million of the cap.
But my guess is you have to say over 100 million, because it's not over 100 million on the cap.
I look at averages, okay?
Yeah, I know.
The average is 47 and 55. That's 102.
Which is fine. But then leave the cap out of it. Because the numbers that you see publicly, again, what you know, I know, Joshy knows, that Jordan Love is making $55 million this year on his average.
Correct.
Against the cap, it's like 36.
I don't care. Yeah.
What I'm saying is you can't bring the cap into it. If you want to say they're making over $100 million, that's fine. You can. But it's not that against the cap.
Well, if all he wanted to pay him was 40 and he didn't want to pay him 47, you're calling that stubborn? You don't know if that's stubborn yet. You don't know if this is going to pan out. Now, we think it will.
No, I know, because I think he could have had him for 44 or 45. I think that Jerry, by being, because it wasn't just
But
being,
it seems like he was stuck on the 40.
Yeah, because they shook hands on it.
Sure.
They shook hands on it.
Which is foolish on his part.
Yes.
But,
and again, Chute, I promise you, man, if you would have watched this press conference that Jerry, this performance that he put on last night, that he talked for 10 minutes straight, literally the question to open, why did you trade Micah Parsons? He waxed on for 10 minutes.
And what'd he say?
Without answering. Basically, so we knew, or now we know, that 2 days, 48 hours before this deal actually came together, the framework of the deal between the Packers and Cowboys was
this
done.
This is the thing. So you then have the Packers, to wait, because I guarantee your reaction for Dame Lillard was the exact same.
Yeah, he was great.
I'll celebrate when there's a ring on the finger. That's when I'll celebrate.
Well, then let me celebrate today.
Okay.
I'll celebrate enough for you. Joshy, you'll celebrate enough for you.
Yeah.
But when it comes to Jerry, he had 2 days to figure out what he was going to say at this press conference. Because the framework, the deal was basically agreed to 2 days ago. And the last 48 hours, Brian Gutekunst and the Packers were hammering out what the financial portion of it would be for Micah Parsons and his side. And all Jerry could come up with, and he said it in just about every answer he gave, we want to stop the run. We have to be better at stopping the run. Stopping the run's a priority. When you have Micah Parsons and he's such a good pass rusher, you know how you counter that? You run right at him. Okay, cool.
Well, yeah. I mean, what's he going to say? You know?
That's all he could come up with.
Sure.
Over two days, all he could come up with, we wanted to stop the run.
Look, it's a great move. It's a great move.
Then act like it. It's a great move.
What has he done for the Green Bay Packers so far?
Made me happy.
I don't celebrate. I celebrate championships, okay? And all this does, they're better. Yes, they are. But being
better
does not get you a Super Bowl ring. Didn't happen with the Bears with Khalil Mack.
Nope.
It happened with Von Miller.
Yep, in Denver.
It happened with Von Miller. No, when they traded him to the Rams. He was on the Rams when they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but their big move was Jalen Ramsey.
But I'm just saying, it's got to pan out, you know?
Yeah, but also, like, to me, so the difference between even this and Dame, and I was pumped for Dame. Like, I don't want to downplay that. I was pumped.
Yeah, sure.
The difference is, and even if I wasn't willing to admit it at the time, like, Dame was in his mid-30s. Well, still in his prime, he's in his mid-30s. And in the NBA, players like Dame actually become available from time to time. Like, that guy, like, and that's no offense to Dame, but we've seen Kevin Durant has moved around how many times. Like, players of that ilk can become available. Somebody like Micah Parsons, Chu?
Yeah.
Doesn't become available.
No, I know that. It doesn't happen. The only way this is a great trade, one of the best trades, is if they win a Super Bowl. And the pressure's on.
Yeah.
The pressure's on.
Pressure's a
privilege,
man.
Goody had to do this. I agree. He probably overpaid.
He didn't overpay.
Well, then why weren't there other teams involved? And we'll ask Jason.
Yeah, you can ask Jason that. But so Jerry said last night that his parameters for negotiating with a team, one, they had to have the cap space for Micah. Two, they needed defensive tackle. They wanted a defensive tackle in return. So that team needed to have good defensive tackles. And I'll grant you this, big guy. The Packers, I think, are incredibly fortunate that Jerry Jones decided to do this now versus back in April.
Oh, yeah, because he probably wouldn't have been.
Back in April, teams have cap space. And then even those draft picks, if you do this pre-draft, like, the haul is going to be better because the Cowboys know what they're getting in terms of those picks. Like, one of those picks is probably a top 15 pick, right? Instead, now it's like, well, it's two picks. Maybe they're okay, or maybe they end up being in the back part of the draft because the Packers are good because we just traded them Micah Parsons. The Packers have drafted in the 20s 5 of the last 6 years. Chances are that pick's going to be in the 20s. It's not a pick in the top half of the draft. So I don't think they overpaid.
Yeah, a $5 million bump over the next guy. Yeah, that's an overpay. But it's fine. Like I said, overpay, but you got to win Super Bowls.
You have to win Super Bowls. I don't care. And
I haven't had the chance to win a Super Bowl yet. We're still in the fallout. This happened 12 hours ago?
No, I know that.
15.
Yeah.
You know who this puts the most pressure on is Jordan Love. Because now the defense is good enough to win a Super Bowl. On paper. They haven't even played a game on paper.
I mean, we talked about this before it happened. Micah Parsons makes everyone on that defense better. All the attention that's being drawn to him, it makes Rashawn Gary better. It makes the linebacking core better. And you have a potential difference maker there in Edgerrin Cooper. Also, you have a first-team All-Pro safety in Xavier McKinney. You've got a difference maker on all three levels. You were worried about the cornerback depth.
I just said,
you don't have to worry as much about the
corners. Enough to win a Super Bowl. This falls on Jordan Love. Yeah. He's got to elevate his game.
Well, yes, he's got to be better. The offensive line has to be better. Like that still remains the same. But I would even argue, I don't think Jordan has to be quite as good.
Do you think this moves them in front of Detroit?
Vegas says it moves them even with Detroit. Okay. Some places actually say it moves them ahead of Detroit, yes.
I would.
According to the odds.
I would. I mean, they're close, but I just think Detroit offensively compared to Green Bay's offense is a click better. I mean, it all depends on where Hutchinson's going to be.
Well, I think a big question for Jared Goff and the Lions is, can they do it without Ben Johnson?
Well, sure.
That is a big question for them. It's not like they don't have any
questions. They're in the top six.
They're in that group.
They're
100%.
They are in that group.
You've got the three teams from the AFC in the Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, the three teams from the NFC in the Lions, Eagles, and Packers.
Correct. Yes. It's a good place to be.
Michael Parsons.
But you guys want to hand them in already without putting the work in.
So my
Can't
question
do it
is
like that. Doesn't work like that, Josh.
See, either of us are doing. That hasn't been a single thing we're doing, and we know you're grasping at straws right now. We can all tell. We're just excited that the team we've been begging for years to go out and do the all-in thing finally did it. The showing the commitment to winning Super Bowls and trying to get to Super Bowls just happened. The one position we spent all off-season banging the drum, this position isn't good enough. You just helped it. There's a lot of work to go.
Yeah.
There's a lot left to do.
Okay, that's what I want to hear.
Jordan Love has got a ways to go. But you know what makes everything easier? a really good bleeping defense.
What does this do to the cap?
I don't care. Go over it. Get fined.
Well,
get in the playoffs. Get in an NFC Championship game. You have one of the most elite pass rushers. The guy since 2021 who's led all edge rushers in pressures. A guy who's had 12 sacks in four straight seasons to start his NFL career.
Only played 13 games last year, by the way.
Do you know who else has 12 sacks in his first four seasons in the NFL? That'd be Reggie White.
That's it. That's the list. Those are the two guys who have ever done that.
There have been 29 guys who have made the Pro Bowl in all four of their seasons to get drafted in the first round of the draft. Only one of them in the history of the NFL has ended up on another team in their fifth year. And that would be
Micah Parsons.
This is unprecedented. I think we have the right to enjoy it. The games haven't happened yet. We're going to see. Well, 17 of them are coming.
But speaking of the game, so I think this is an important piece of this, and I think you can help us out. Because you have famously talked about how there was, now I'm blanking on the season, where you kind of got hurt in training camp, you didn't get to go through the full camp, and you just didn't feel ready. You felt that 85% or so when the season started. Something just felt a little off. Micah Parsons hasn't gone through anything. He's been milking this, in air quotes here, back injury.
He'll be fine.
But he hasn't done any practice. Like, how much can he?
Well, they don't practice
because
anyways.
We've talked about.
Also fair.
Yeah, that is also fair.
Yeah.
But we've talked about how important these first two games are.
Yes.
And they are important. How, percent wise, how many snaps do you think Micah Parsons gets?
He'll play
when they
against
open up
Detroit.
Against Detroit. So they're introducing him today. The team is off until Monday. Yesterday was their last practice, they gave him 3 days off. They get the extra day of practice that they typically wouldn't get because it's the beginning of the season, so they're going to practice Monday, off day Tuesday, then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, before they get ready for Detroit on Sunday.
70% of the snaps.
Ooh.
He'll be good. He'll be fine. I mean, if they're opening up against Cleveland.
Run them out there as much 50%, as
you want. 50%?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But there's no time because the most pressing thing is to win the division.
Yeah. Because winning the division gets you a whole playoff game.
You know,
I thought he'd be around. I was thinking 25 to 30 plays. You prioritize
those pass rush.
I mean,
situations.
He's not sitting around eating donuts. I'm sure he's conditioning.
He was napping on the trainer.
Yeah, but that was during a game.
This is when the JV was playing. Josh, who cares?
No. He'll be good to go.
Okay, because that was something I didn't even think about. And then I was talking with Ian Fitzsimmons last night, and he's like, "Hey." You know, that's something to kind of, you know, you want to be careful of. The soft tissue stuff, pulling hammies.
Well, the soft
like that.
Tissue stuff, that's another matter. But from a conditioning standpoint, I mean, seriously, I don't ever remember being tired in a game.
Again, I'm not worried about that. It's his body being football ready. Because he hasn't done any football
stuff.
It's
the soft tissue is the concern, whether they'll limit him there. But like I said, he's not. I'm sure he's been conditioning, doing his own thing. Especially if he thought this was a good chance that this was going to happen. So.
Chewy's got questions for Jason Wilde. Jason Wilde's got answers. It's Micah Parsons Victory Friday, presented by Palermo. Jeff gave it to She called me Patty on a dance with my head. All my legs were so high. I need a teacher on a dance. I don't know how to work. I want to bang on the drum all day. Hey, why not?
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project this year? Exterior Pros and Baths is here to help you score big with quality home exterior and shower upgrades. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com.
He is our friend, he is our teammate, he is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason, good morning. Happy Micah Parsons Friday to you.
Dudes.
Hi, buddy.
I hear you're urinating in people's Cheerios this morning.
Jason, great move, but they haven't won anything yet. Right?
True. Yeah, they're not hanging the banner for we acquired the best we acquired one of the best defensive players in football in the middle of his at the early end of his prime. There's no banners for that in the Hudson Center. You're right. But I mean, let's be honest. Like, it's not going to be it cannot be as transformative as Reggie.
No,
because Reggie changed the way the organization was viewed, the way free agents viewed Green Bay, the way opposing coaches could no longer say, if you don't get your blank together, we're sending you to Green Bay as a threat. Anybody who's trying to draw that parallel from a on-field perspective, though, I mean, it's like getting Reggie 5 years earlier, right? Like, potentially. And I'm not saying he's going to be a Pro Football Hall of Famer and end up with a gold jacket. But when you make this trade, you know, you understand that every player is subject to injury. Every player is subject to downturns in production. Nothing is guaranteed. But more likely than not, you got a really big-time stud. And let's not forget, I love Kenny Clark. One of the all-time good dudes in that locker room. Always, I mean, he won our Mully Award twice for stand-up guy. But I would say that they're probably going to move on from him after the season either way, right?
Yeah.
So basically they gave up two first-round picks that they think are going to be at the bottom of the draft the next 2 years. Maybe not 32, but close to it. And a guy that they were probably just going to keep around for one more season. And they got Micah Parsons for it. And so I'm not here to rain on anyone's parade. I would say, though, that what I'm most fascinated by is not just what a game-wrecking player Parsons is, but the fact that they didn't have to include Lucas Van Ness or Rashawn Gary, and maybe those two first-round picks being on the same field as Micah Parsons are finally going to produce at a level that you expected from them. Because had they produced like you expected them to when you drafted them 12th and 13th, you wouldn't be trading for Micah Parsons. But now's your opportunity with having kept both of them to have a fearsome, fearsome pass rush that could really change everything for you defensively.
Why does it, and there's some tough questions though, Jason, why did it appear that there were no other serious suitors?
I don't know. It's like Doncic, right?
Yeah.
Like, there had to be other teams with better offers than the Lakers. There had to be better offers or potentially better offers from teams than the Packers. There had to be, like, and again, I don't, I've met Jerry Jones a few times. Once he was hammered in a bar in New Orleans when you guys were in the Super Bowl. Which was great.
Sounds like he was hammered yesterday.
Well,
we kept calling him Michael.
Jerry
Michael?
Got into the Johnny Walker Michael? Blue.
Yeah.
Michael Parsons, yeah. Michael's a really good player for us. I don't hold anything against Michael.
But Jason, why was it just everything we saw was Green Bay Packers, Green Bay Packers, Green Bay Packers?
I don't know. And also, I have not had the gumption to send a text message to Aaron Rodgers
say,
just to be clear, in the last 6 months, they have drafted a first-round wide receiver and traded for one of the best defensive players in all of football. Aaron, your thoughts? I don't know, Chewy. Like, I don't know. There had to have been other teams. Maybe they didn't get the memo. Maybe they weren't. Maybe they didn't believe. Like, this is one of the questions I want to ask Goody. Like, you know, I can't believe that the Cowboys traded this guy. What made you think you could actually do this? Because I'm stunned. I'm not stunned that the Packers acquired him, right? Because I'm certainly surprised. I'm not going to act like, oh, I knew this was going to happen. But, you know, Josh's guy, Ricky, and then some guy on Reddit who is a plastic surgeon. I'm so confused about all these different people that have claimed knowledge of this. But you knew about the buzz. I asked Goody the question that I did on Wednesday, and the fact that he had already agreed to the terms of the trade and they were just working on the contract tells me that I am never going to accept an invitation to go play poker at his house. But the fact that they did this is not that unbelievable. From their perspective, it makes sense. From the Cowboys' perspective, it makes no sense whatsoever. I just don't get it.
They want to stop the run, Jason.
Smarter than me to explain it.
They want to stop the run.
Exactly. How galactically stupid does that
seem? Yeah, I know.
Well, and especially when you factor in, like you said, they had this deal worked out 48 hours before Jerry had to step up to the podium. And in those 2 days, all he could come up with was, well, I want to stop the run. Like, that's all he could come up with in that time before he tried to defend this to the media. So how much credit does Ed Policy ultimately get for a move like this? Because there are a lot of fans on the Carbless Talk and Text line, Jason, that are making the correlation of Ed takes over now, makes the comment that he said about Goody, about LaFleur, not going to give him contract extensions, don't want to do the lame duck year either, putting a little pressure on those guys. I understand Micah Parsons has to become available first and foremost for a move like this, but how much of the pressure that was put on by Goody by Policy, how much does that get credit for a move like this?
Yeah, so I don't think Ed Policy like marched into Goody's office and said, you need to trade for Micah Parsons, right? We can all agree on that.
Yes.
I don't think that that's how this works. But I think his messaging was very clear. And let's not forget that in 1993, when the Green Bay Packers did sign Reggie White, you know who one of the other teams were that were suitors for Reggie? The San Francisco 49ers.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Do you know who the team president and CEO were?
Carmen.
Carmen
Diego?
Policy.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, love that show. I'm not saying that any of the policies demanded any of those moves, right? But I do think that Goody and LaFleur, and the three of us talked about this weeks ago, like the idea that, you know, if you keep going 10-7, 11-6, and losing in the first round of the playoffs, sooner or later in title town, not losing the first round town, it's going to get you fired. It's not going to be good enough. And would they, if they go 10-7 this year without Micah Parsons and they lose the first round because they're on the road and it's a good game and they're close, but they didn't win it, you know, what does that do for next year when they would have been lame ducks? I think he probably adds another year onto each of their contracts. And then if they do the exact same thing in 2026, they probably get fired, right? Policy probably says, look, we're not getting any better. We need to do something different. These are not my guys. I didn't hire them. And they've had, you know, by then it would be Goody would have had 9 seasons and LaFleur would have had 8. So you do this, and yeah, it's a huge risk, right? I mean, he could trip and fall getting off the plane today and break his kneecap. I don't think that's going to happen. He seems like a pretty athletic guy from what I've seen on tape. But the bottom line is that there is risk here. But if you're going to – you're hired in the NFL to get fired. And so if you're going to take a risk, why not take a big – and by the way, I can't wait to see the structure of this contract because everybody's going, you know, crazy about $47 million a year average and $136 million guaranteed. That's all well and good. But given this team's history about how they structure contracts and the fact that they have structured contracts with David Mulugeta before for their quarterback and their first-team all-pro safety, I would be cautious of saying, hey, I'm not sure that they overpaid as exorbitantly as the initial numbers appear to be.
Jason, with this trade, who has the most pressure on them? Goody, LaFleur, Halfley, Love, Parsons. And part two is, do they have to? win a Super Bowl in the next 4 years with a move like this?
Yeah. The second question is easy. That's why you make this trade, mm-hmm. right? And that's why, I mean, again, you got a guy in the prime of his career. Like, it is just so astonishing. Like, I still can't believe that the Giants let Xavier McKinney out of their building. But this,
yeah,
I mean, like, give, and let me be very clear, because I know there's people that think I don't like Goody. I am not in any way downplaying what he has done now. He has acquired both of those guys. He signed Josh Jacobs, who, as much as I love Aaron Jones, was definitely an upgrade over Aaron Jones. He's drafted Matthew Golden. He's done a bunch of, you know, pretty bold strokes. It's still preposterous that the two players that I mentioned first were ever allowed to leave those teams. And that's why those teams, as the kids would say, are poverty franchises, even though they're worth billions of dollars. Like, you just can't let players like this out your door. So that said, you know, the pressure's certainly on LaFleur and Halfley and all those guys to do that. But again, I think the biggest, you know, the biggest pressure, though, should be on Micah Parsons. Like, with great contracts comes great responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs to deliver. Like, he can dance around his house and all the other stuff with the trade, and that's great. But, you know, you've never had a sack. You've never had a season with less than 12 sacks, and that was last year when you only played 13 games. We know what you're capable of. We know what the Packers are expecting you to do. And, you know, if he has 13 sacks, but Lucas Van Ness has 9, and Rashawn Gary has 12 and a half, and Kingsley Anagbare has 7, and Devontae Wyatt has 8, like, this is the kind of thing that, you know, look, think back to the teams that have eliminated the Packers in the playoffs over the years. What do they have in common? They're always able to get pressure with 4.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? The Eagles did it last year. The Giants of yesteryear. If
Niners.
If these guys can, yeah, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So if these guys can do that, the opportunities it opens up for Jeff Halfley in his final year as the Packers defensive coordinator, as he'll become a head coach next year, are limitless.
Are they better than Detroit on paper right now?
Well, at least, I don't know. Like, I guess I haven't looked at Detroit's paper very clearly, right? But, like, they've got their Aiden Hutchinson now. Like, I would say this. If I'm J.J. McCarthy or Caleb Williams, I'm not super thrilled, right? Yeah. Now you've got two guys that can really wreck a game with Hutchinson and Parsons in your division. But, yeah, I mean, look, again, I can't wait to see what this all looks like. I'm excited for 2:30 when we're going to talk to Parsons, and Goody and LaFleur are going to talk before that. Like, I wasn't covering the team yet when Reggie got here, right? Mm-hmm. The first, like, colossal press conference I remember, frankly, is Favre telling everyone he was going to rehab. Like, you know, I don't have the experience of these monumental press conferences, like something like this.
Because even Charles Woodson, right? Like, because everybody wants to go, oh, this is, you know, your era had Reggie.
Yeah.
The next era had Charles Woodson as that difference maker defensively, and this is the next in that line, potentially, if the Packers win a Super Bowl. But even going back to Charles Woodson, Jason, like, that ended up being a bigger signing than it was, because Charles kind of hung out there on the market for a little bit because people were concerned about the injuries that he had. So it's not like that was a massive press conference when they signed him either. It was them or Tampa Bay that was going to get him.
You're right. And it was like at the draft or around the draft. It's like April 26th. He was like that last can of peanut butter on the free agency shelf when there's a hurricane in town. Like, and Charles is great about that. Like, him telling those stories, like how many times he said he wasn't going to Green Bay, and the fact that I would argue, as great as Charles Woodson was, and as much as I consider him a friend now, he's not in the Hall of Fame if he doesn't come to Green Bay.
Nope.
And I know he would dispute that, but I don't think he goes to Tampa and does what he did. And so he's, and then he, then how's his career looked at, right? College Football Hall of Famer, Heisman Trophy winner, fourth overall pick, never quite as good as he could have been in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And instead, what he became in Green Bay is one of, is the stuff of legends. But to your point, yeah, that ain't this either.
Nope.
Because he basically took the last deal available. And by the way, the last time I was this surprised when something happened, but we didn't have Pretty Ricky and the insiders on top of it, was when Julius Peppers showed up inside Lambeau Field. But Julius Peppers was nearing the end of his run, right? I think he played, what, two more years after his 3 years in Green Bay in Carolina again? But, like, this is different. Again, I can't emphasize this enough. This guy is 26 years old. How is he available with his resume? I mean, all this stuff about Jerry and caring about the Netflix documentary and creating content, all this other crap. Somewhere inside of him, though, after winning those Super Bowls 30 years ago when he first bought the team, there's got to be something inside of him going, you know what, maybe I need to take a longer look in the mirror at my leathered, surgically improved face and think, this is not what I should be doing. Maybe I should get a football guy in charge, because I just let this guy out of my building. And again, to your point at the very beginning, Chu, there had to have been other teams you could trade this guy to. This is the team that ended your season in 2014, in 2016, in 2023. Like, they have had a role in you not getting back to an NFC championship game in 3 decades. So I can totally believe it from the Packers' perspective. I just can't believe it. I did text Mike McCarthy last night. Tausch would like him on our program. If I was him, I would not do it, because I have no idea what I would say if I was him. But it would be kind of like when he said at the trade deadline and Ted was in charge, and Bill Huber asked him if today being the trade deadline makes any difference to him. And he said, wait, it's today? I thought that was next week. That's what it's like. Like, I can only imagine what he would say about what it's like to work for Jerry Jones.
Jason, do we know what number he's going to wear?
No, I don't know that.
What's the offer he makes to Jaden Reed for 11?
I don't
know. That's a great question.
He's got a couple extra dollars laying around after getting the 120 guaranteed at signing.
Well, Jason, did you know Reggie gave Yurko a used Rolex, and that wasn't part of the deal?
Oh, my God, that is great.
He gave him a used Rolex.
The story that you have about everybody on your team being the cheapest person possible. Reggie signed the richest deal in the history of the NFL when he signed it, and he gave Yurko a used Rolex.
Set a Rolex. He didn't say what.
What condition?
Yeah.
God bless America. Jason, I'm with you. I can't wait till 2:30. Can't wait to hear you and Tausch break this down more starting at 9 a.m. Happy Micah Parsons Day.
Yes, we're spending 3 consecutive hours talking Badgers win over Miami of Ohio. You're not going to want to miss it. No, what's the over-under on the number of minutes we spend on the Badgers game? 3?
I was going to say 2.5. I'll go 2.5.
That feels high. Yeah. Hell of a win for them. All right, guys. Enjoy the day. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us 3 times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Let me tell you about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, because when it comes to long-lasting comfort and reliability, it's easy to trust Pella. That's why so many of us here at ESPN Milwaukee have trusted Pella over the years. I trusted them earlier this month, installed a new front door on my house. Didn't really need the windows. They came through, and I really wanted a new front door. And it really brings the entire house together. Still getting compliments on it when new people visit the house. Every piece at Pella is specifically constructed for you and your home. Again, just like my front door. Always designed with innovation, rigorously tested for quality and performance, and to last for years, and to create long-term energy savings. If you order by August 31st, get 0% interest for up to 5 years. Visit PellaWI.com today. And when you do, tell them that Gabe Neitzel sent you.
More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN. Last night, she said, oh, baby, I feel so down.
Oh, it's a mail when I feel left out. Josh, how long before this feeling wears out? Like, is it going to last? We've got a long weekend. Like, Micah Parsons is a Green Bay Packer. This is literally what we have been begging. Like, we were begging for the Brewers to do this in Eugenio Suarez. They didn't make the move. Obviously, the Brewers are fine without him, but it'd be nice. You know, if your team made that move, you're always excited. Bucks obviously have made more of these moves over the years, going out and getting, you know, Drew Holiday and then Damian Lillard and doing these unbelievable things as they've been the most aggressive of the professional sports teams here in Wisconsin. But it's just like, even as the chatter got more and more, and I would say even going back to when Adam Schefter appeared on our show, not this Wednesday, but the one before, when he was not even hinting, just straight up saying, this relationship has deteriorated.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how this gets fixed. Maybe it does, but I don't know how it gets fixed. That's the
voice of reason here.
Oh, jeez.
People weird on the thing is to me,
not happy with you today,
by
the way.
I care less. Hey, Bill Gaffett.
I've been told to mute your mic multiple times.
A generational player like this, my question is, why is Green Bay the only team that we heard was serious?
So there was reports I saw that both the Ravens and the Cardinals were potential landing spots. I imagine there was some degree of discussion had amongst.
But why? I mean, it's been Green Bay from the start to finish.
I think what's going to end up happening is we're going to get the because we know Jerry, he likes to talk, and the people around him certainly do too. I think we're going to get eventually the full story of how this all went down. Ian Rappaport's doing his best to sort of back it up, where he told us the 2 days ago they agreed, and then the contract was sort of what they needed to hammer out in the meantime. So I don't think the Cowboys only talked to the Packers. I don't know why the Packers ended up having the best offer, or what Jerry believed to be the best offer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Can we track back? Did Kenny Clark have a big game that you can remember against the Cowboys that made him fall in love with a guy who we've all seen sort of skills decline?
So again, it's funny because, and I know Kenny ended up having foot surgery, but he kept that quiet all of last year. But he's coming off of literally his worst career year
ever.
Coming off of a career high in sacks in 7.5 the year before to drop all the way down to 1. And even those splash plays, like, there were Kenny Clark's impact. Like, if you were watching the game, or if you were just to go back and watch, just the sheer amount of strength he would have just to shove a center or a guard all the way into the backfield and be disruptive, that was a big part. Like, those plays, because Chew, we do the all 22.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't find any of those plays last year. We could really talk about that. It was clear drop, and maybe the foot was a big reason because of that.
Yeah. Is that a loss?
It hurts.
How much?
I guess it honestly depends upon how much of it last year was him becoming older and having a lot of miles at that position, how much of it was his foot.
Yeah, if you remember, he was playing in the NFL as a 19-year-old kid. Yeah. He's had a lot of time out there. He suffered a lot of injuries.
Yeah, but he's still been relatively healthy and played through a lot of those injuries.
And great Packer, one of my favorites of all time, especially in this modern era. But his skills have been declining, and PFF grades aren't the end all be all, but his run defense grade has been declining for the past 3 years. We saw it be his worst year last year, and Jason said it, this was likely his last season as a Green Bay Packer.
Yeah,
so they got rid, and maybe that's part of the equation for Jerry. He wants those to come off the books, and he thinks that this can tide them over until they get there. But the hardest thing to figure out, and that we're going to spend a lot of time, is why would you ever trade Micah Parsons?
To the Packers.
Right. And I don't think we're going to find, even when we get the full story, an explanation we feel is worthy. The same way with the Luka Doncic trade. They're going to tell us why and their justification, and there's going to be more to it. But we're all going to look at it and go, it just doesn't make sense. And I think that's the most likely outcome.
No, it doesn't. Because if it's Baltimore or Green Bay, you're sending them to Baltimore.
Right.
Yeah. Like, even if Baltimore's offering just a little bit less. I'm sending him to Baltimore.
Well,
these teams play week 4.
Yeah.
And it's not even like you can go, well, we don't have to deal with Micah coming back. The Packers aren't on our schedule this year, and justify it that way. Like, oh, maybe we'll play them in the future and we'll deal with it then. They play in the first month of the season. On Sunday night football, the game is already on Sunday night football.
That's on the road, too, right?
Yeah, it's in Dallas. So Micah gets to go back to Dallas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think... Mike,
I mean, maybe he is losing his mind. I didn't realize he's 82.
Yeah, he's 82.
He's up there.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't think we're going to find the answer. We're going to come back to this, and whenever we figure it out and the full story of what happened, and, you know, Jerry's, I'm sure, going to talk about it. I mean, he was talking about, like, stopping the run. He was calling him Michael. His press conference was as bizarre of anything I've watched in, like, modern sports.
But if you thought Mark Murphy speaking for 20 minutes before introducing Matt LaFleur was strange, like, this was that on steroids last night. Literally, he went for 20 minutes after, hey, why'd you do this? And he just started talking and didn't stop. I'm not lying. I was on Amber and Ian last night, and we joined it live. We jumped on it right as the question was happening. Hey, why'd you trade Micah Parsons? There was not another question asked for the 8 to 9 minutes that we played
live. He just rambled?
He just rambled. Yeah. He just went.
Thanks, Jerry.
It was just Petey Pablo here on the Carbless Talking Text Line, 800-990-3776. Maybe the best explanation. Jerry is a secret Packer fan, Chew.
Possibly.
I think you got to add it to the list. Because, again, it just does not
make sense.
Make a lot of sense.
It's also interesting to track back, like, the Ricky story that I remember after Adam joined us, as you mentioned, 2 weeks ago. And I said, amongst us, that feels like he's trying to tell us something. And Jason's done the same thing in the past when it came to Devontae Adams. It feels like Adam is trying to push us to a conclusion.
Yes.
And at that point, I don't think you could have said with any confidence going to be the Packers. You obviously couldn't have said that yesterday. Because,
and that's not the direction that Shefty was pointing us and pushing us was, right. Hey, a trade is kind of possible right now.
Right.
It feels really possible.
And that's what makes it all interesting. And finding out it was 2 days ago that, I mean, two first round, those are going to be bottom five, bottom six picks in the first round.
Shout out to Goody for, by the way, somehow keeping that bad boy under wraps for 48 hours.
It's
weird to me. It's just like, you know, when Reggie, he was a free agent, obviously he was different.
Yeah.
Visited 12 teams.
Yeah.
If you were to trade Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
There's 26 of them there.
I mean, it'd be insane.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And this is one of the best available players in a trade.
Yeah.
Like, who? I just want to know who the other teams are.
Yeah. And again, I'm sure. It depends upon the general manager, I guess.
Because did Parsons just steer it? But why would you listen? Like,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's possible that he steered it towards Green Bay. I think that's possible. I don't know. I guess we'll find out, you know, more when Micah talks and just have to piece these things together. But it usually takes a couple of days because there have been some other moves in the past where then we get the information, oh, Goody was in on it. He was close. Like, how long did we do that for? Oh, Goody was close.
In the mix.
He was in the mix on this deal, right? And I think that comes a couple of days later. So maybe we find out that the Rams or Ravens, I don't know if we ever find out what they actually ever offered, but we might get a list of teams who are in the mix to potentially do
this. And this is a thing that often doesn't get talked about in the NFL is that massive at signing number. Gabe, can you remind me of it? What he
guaranteed at signing?
Yeah.
120.
So that number, the Cincinnati Bengals physically cannot pay that, even if they had the cap space. They don't have that type of money because that money comes out of your bank account at signing, and it goes into like an escrow. There are multiple teams who can't even afford that type of thing just because how they run their program. There's plenty that can, but there are like literal limitations.
Which is weird because every team got a check for what, 400-something million?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. This trade, absolutely insane. We continue to react. We want to hear from you on that Carpool's Talking Text Line, 800-990-3776, as we continue here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And for the first time, you can stream all of ESPN all in one place. Guys, it is changing the game. All the best live sports, including WWE, the most championship moments, studio shows, documentaries, and originals, too many to name them all. Plus great new features like watching four games at once in multi-view in the app, your fantasy team updates live in-game sports center that's customized just for you. They thought of everything to make this the ultimate destination for fans. Check it out. Sign up for the all-new ESPN app today.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm saying if we collectively, all the people in their cars, all the people listening on the YouTube stream, all the people listening this morning, if we all do it together, there's power in prayer, friends.
Yes, there is. Bless me, Father, for I played man.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Oh, make me over. I'm all I want to be.
Carpool's talking text line. We want to react with you. 800-990-3776. I mean, no matter what, it's the second biggest trade in Packers history.
What's the...
Your guy?
Yeah.
Although, if shows like this or social media existed back then...
The reaction wasn't the same.
The reaction would have been a little different. You gave up what? Yeah. For a what? That worked out, though, for Ron and Brett Favre. Changing the trajectory of this franchise. 800-990-3776. Let's go to Levi in Stevens Point. Levi, you're on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, Gabe, it's good to talk to you again. And Chewy, it is an honor to talk to you, sir, for the first time.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. All right, my reaction is, what the hell just happened yesterday? I was at the doctor point when I was listening to the Brewer game when my phone popped up, and I was like, I cannot believe they got Micah Parsons, and they didn't have to give up that much except those two first-round picks and Kenny Clark, but I wish Kenny nothing but the best for him, though, too. He was good for our team for those 9, 10 years or whatever it is, so just wishing him nothing but the best. Thank you, Kenny. But I really think that they got to win. I don't know if they're going to win this year, but I think this four-year window, they have to win. If they don't, this could be...
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It's a good start.
We appreciate the call, Levi. But I mean,
Christmas comes early.
You're 100% right. Like, I mean, the pressure's on. Now pressure's a privilege.
Yeah. Sure.
But when you have Micah Parsons signed up for as long as you do, like, that's... Because we've talked about before, like, okay, what's the window? Are they there yet? Okay, maybe they're a year away. Okay, if guys can step up. Yeah, this puts the pressure on. To me, the Super Bowl window starts right now. It's Super Bowl, but it's to me, it's exciting to be back here. We haven't been back here in about 5 years.
But it's just...
Where it's, like, legitimately, it's Super Bowl or bust.
I think this year might be their best shot. Because I know you say the cap does, but the cap does matter, okay? And when you have guys like Elgton Jenkins probably playing his last year in Green Bay, and then you got to pay... you got to pay Devontae Wyatt, and then you got to make a decision on Quay Walker.
Well, I think the decision on Quay Walker has just been made.
You think they let him walk?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's
but you know what I mean? Christian Watson.
Yep.
Romeo Doubs.
I think the decision on Doubs has basically been made.
Tucker Kraft has a great year. Then yep. So you got to talk about extending.
Tougher. Yep.
But a deal like this, Gabe, does affect the cap. That's why I'm saying this could be their best shot at winning it all, if things come together. I think people don't understand. It's okay to be happy. I'm happy.
Thank you for your permission.
It's great. It's okay to be happy. But people, it is hard to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
it
100%.
Hard.
And you know what makes
it easier?
Even
when you're good, it's hard. The stars have to align.
Yeah. It's easier when you got a player like Micah Parsons, though.
It is easier.
Like, still very difficult.
Yes.
But it's easier now to win a Super Bowl than it was 48 hours ago.
It took 3 years with Reggie.
Yeah.
For us to
and
win.
And I think Jason has pointed this out. So when Reggie signed in 92, you guys won in 96.
93.
Or excuse me, he won. Yes, excuse me. He signed in 93. You guys won in 96. Woodson signed in 06. They didn't win until 10.
Sure.
Right? So even though they had these guys that ultimately changed the trajectory, it took a little bit of time for everything to come together. We're going to continue to take your calls. If you're on the line, we will get to you in 2 minutes on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.